Welcome back. I'm Nathaniel from the Film Experience, and I'm here with Joe Reed and Nick Davis.
Hi.
Hello.
And unfortunately, we have no Katie today. This is
Just
our,
dudes.
yeah, but this is our final.
Call us the best picture lineup.
Yeah, I was gonna
Oh,
say
yeah.
sausage party theme like the Academy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, this is a two-parter. So this week you'll be hearing from us on all of the Oscar predictions and categories in our. And our feelings. We have many feelings.
We do. We sure do.
I want to start with a category that I can't figure out. I thought I had it figured out, but then I was like, I don't know. And that is best score.
Yeah, that's hard.
I for a long time I thought, oh, it's easy. It's going to be Theory of Everything.
Well, so to lay it out, we've got The Theory of Everything, Johan Johansson, Grand Budapest Hotel, and Imitation Game, both Alexandre Desplat, Interstellar, Hans Zimmer, and Mr. Turner, Gary Yerschan.
So I think if Desplat or Desplat or whatever they're teaching us to say, it's all
Did
confusing.
I do that wrong? I'm terrible at
No,
that.
that was not passive aggression. I truly don't understand 10 years into idolizing him how we're supposed to fucking say that name. But I think if he were nominated for one or the other, it would feel tempting to just call him for that. Because everybody has worked with him. And like to be a composer and be the chair of the Venice jury, like he just seems to have an unusually high profile.
Sure, yeah.
But I did just rewatch Grand Budapest last night, and it's just, I loved the score the first time. I liked it even more this time. It's so eclectic in what it has to do. I'm tempted to say that, but it's bias.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with him this year, right? Is that there is no clear, like, A and B between his two nominations. I mean, I've said this since I saw the movie. Theory of Everything, the score is so evident and prominent that it really is one of, like, the top three or four things you think about when you think about that movie.
But you could technically say that about Interstellar as
You
well.
could. Absolutely could. Yeah.
And I think the only thing that doesn't have a chance of winning just because it was a surprise as a nomination is Mr. Turner.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. It's a nice classic four candidate race. It's not bad.
So I'm hearing that Nick's vote would be for Grand Budapest.
Well, and also like when Chris Pine chuckled when he read the second nomination by him, it's like if people who don't even care about—I mean, not Chris Pine probably cares about music—but if people are, find Desplat's productivity so funny that we all know how many great scores he turns out every year, and he still has never won one. Like, at what point are you Randy Newman and you just win for the next thing that you did, even though these things are
Yeah. Of
really good and deserve to win?
course, he could be Thomas Newman and just never win.
Don't even say that because I just watched The Judge yesterday, and Thomas Newman is like a walking dead at this point. Like,
It's so sad because, man, for a while there, he was churning out. He was sort of my Alexandre Desplat. It was sort of like, God, every year it was
yeah.
something I really loved.
But I find the composers who do that much work tend to go zombie at some point, as Nick alluded.
Yeah, as you point out, he's still churning out the stuff you love. He just wrote it 15 years ago, so
Yeah.
you can hear it anytime you want.
But I think that one of the things that's always hard to judge about the craft categories is what you're talking about with Desplat, and everybody knows that he works like crazy. But I don't think everybody realizes who has or has not won when it comes to craftsmen. Like, I don't think that
No, I think you're right.
they're high profile enough sometimes. Like Roger Deakins, for example, who's nominated in cinematography.
Yeah.
I think people are vaguely aware he hasn't won, but his name is there so often, it's probably like, oh, we honor him all the time.
Yeah, I bet you there are a few people who think that like Alexandre Desplat and Roger Deakins have like, six Oscars apiece just
Right.
because their names are there all the
It's
time. That's
true.
probably true.
Like, people don't even know Julianne Moore hasn't won, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. I feel like with Interstellar, which actually would probably be the one to get my vote, I think that's the one on here that's probably the most divisive. So while it would probably get a lot of votes, it would probably also get a lot of, an equal number of people who would just rather anything but that. So I don't know. I mean, it's not like this isn't a ranked ballot, so it's not like that would matter.
My favorite among them is Grand Budapest as well, but I also question, like, how many Oscars exactly can Grand Budapest win? Because it seems weird if it's going to win as many things as it seems like it might be able to.
Well, what are we penciling in? Production design, costume?
Well, who can say until later in the conversation?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It is exciting to me that any of these could win, and I would think justice had been served in some way. Like, this is like a few other categories we might talk about, this seems like a really good year for this race.
Okay, so while our ears are attuned, original song.
Another great category.
Yes.
I was really sitting down with this the other day, and I sort of, because you know my feelings on the best song category in the last 15 years, but
yes.
This is probably one of the strongest lineups it's had since, you know, sort of the heyday of the 80s and 90s, maybe.
To recap quickly, the nominees are Grateful from Beyond the Lights, Lost Stars from Begin Again, Everything is Awesome from the Lego Movie, Glory from Selma, and Not Gonna Miss You from Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me, the documentary.
Mm-hmm. And Glenn Campbell's not my thing, but that's fine. He's a lot of other people's thing, and I will totally, you know...
Well, the song's very pretty.
Yeah.
I think the profile of that one is just so low. I mean, maybe if the documentary itself had also been popular.
Or, like, released.
Right.
Sort of like that Scarlett Johansson song from a couple years ago, which right. I still think was a really pretty song, and if anybody had seen that movie, that was a really good movie. But I'm not going to argue 2 years old things, I promise.
Really? That's kind of our thing.
Right.
You're shirking your duties. Yeah, I think Glory has this one locked up, but I was just curious about what you, maybe not locked up, but what you guys, what your favorite.
I don't know. I think Lost Stars is my favorite, but
Lost Stars is my favorite too. I made a playlist of all best original song nominees, or all the ones that I really like, and so I was listening to it a lot this weekend. And it's such a really pretty song, and sounds great when he does it, and it sounds great when she does it, and I don't know. I'm very happy with it.
But it's not supposed to sound great when he does it.
It is at the end, though. Like, they have his sort of, like tricked up version or whatever. But, yeah. Like, he performs it on the stage at the end. It sounds great, and it's supposed to.
No, it's not supposed to, because she leaves. She's upset with it.
I don't think that's necessarily why she leaves.
Yeah, because she says she wants him to do her original arrangement, and then he falls back to his stadium arrangement. And she's like, oh, sellout.
But she says, don't do it like this, and the version he gives is very different from the things she's just heard on the Walkman, which is way worse.
Which is also weirdly on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I took that scene very differently. Interesting. I thought he was trying to do her version, and then he gave up because he wanted the crowd to go wild.
Well, I do think there's a sense that he can, you know, people don't change, and he does... He can't go all the way to where she was, but I think she sees, you know, solid effort there for a while, and it is pretty moving. I mean, it does amp up toward the end, so one enjoys the ambiguous ending of Begin Again.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too. That's interesting. I never quite thought that that's how other people were maybe taking that ending. But you could. That's sort of like the too hot, too cold, just right thing of that song, and I like her, and I think that's going to be what he's performing at the Oscars.
I also make a playlist every year, and I used to give them out as door prizes when I used to have Oscar parties of all the songs, but I went one further, and I would include as many songs as I could find from, well, not as many, but like from the eligibility list.
That's good. That's a good idea.
Even songs that I did not like, if they were like considered, you know, important.
Because you're an archivist at heart.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I had Alone Yet Not Alone on a playlist for quite a while.
My gosh. Right there next to all the Llewyn Davis songs.
The Sasquatch of Oscar fans. Does it exist?
So do we think there's a chance that in the same way that maybe people who are upset about Selma not getting nominated in other categories would funnel their votes into Glory, that the same thing might happen to Everything is Awesome? Because the Lego Movie is really the, like, second place finisher in terms of the Snub Olympics. It's like, it's the silver medalist in terms of what people were talking about.
Mm-hmm. I don't get the sense that the voters are as upset about either of those things as probably we are.
Yeah.
Or,
sure.
internet is, and I think that it doesn't even have the like guilt factor of where you might feel bad about yourself as a person for not being supportive enough of Selma. But I also feel like if Blame Canada can't beat a song from Tarzan, I don't see how a Lego Movie song beats.
I just am sad that, you know, given that we have these songs we like and some of them are fun and like peppy, we still don't have Debbie Allen anymore. Like how, like I want the productions to be like really big, and I'm worried that they won't be.
Yeah, I think what we'll get is Tegan and Sarah and the Lonely Island will have their sort of like big, you know, exuberant, everything is awesome performance. But I think probably everything else will be pretty low key.
Well, except for all the extra tributes we're getting. In addition to all the people from the original songs, there's like Jack Black's performing. Oh, who else? Anna Kendrick's performing.
Oh.
Yeah. God,
is Bird this the York third year in a row that the theme is a tribute to musicals?
Yeah, basically.
If Bird York doesn't sing that Glenn Campbell song in front of a burning car, I'm turning it off.
I legitimately was watching that YouTube performance.
Of course you were.
both because it's the only thing I like about Crash, and that actress I love from The West Wing. So it's sort of, I return to that, to In the Deep more often than you might expect. But it's not available on Spotify, so it didn't make my Spotify playlist, which made me sad. Anyway, continue.
do we all think Glory's going to win then?
I do.
And we would all probably... I'm gonna
say Glenn Campbell. I know I'm wrong.
Wow. Okay.
It's a good song, though.
Don't feel sorry for me.
Sound editing and sound mixing. Other categories, like nothing. It does seem like an unusually hard year to predict in a ton of categories, and I think that this, you know, they could decide here's where American Sniper wins things. It could be Birdman if Birdman's front running. It could be Whiplash for sound mixing. Like, it seems like a lot of things. Maybe Strikeout, Unbroken, and The Hobbit, of course.
Oh, I strike out Unbroken every day when I wake up.
And I'm just still so pissed at the Sound Branch for not ignoring The Hobbit, because it would have been the first one without Oscar nominations.
Yep.
Well, I had to go out and see it the day of the nominations because I knew that it was then or never, and I kind of wished it was never. I hadn't really disliked the first two Hobbit movies. I didn't love them, but I found things to like about them. But gosh, this one is a mess. I think Sniper maybe wins these both.
Yeah, me too.
And maybe if it doesn't win one, I think Birdman maybe wins sound mixing.
You don't think Whiplash?
Maybe the I think the drum vote, honestly, as glib as that sounds, might cancel each other out. Because I feel like that's what you're voting for. If you're voting for Birdman for sound mixing, you're voting for the way that sort of like percussive, you know, drum thing like wound its way through the movie. Sniper wins both of those.
So you don't think drums are as hot as like archery was a couple years ago?
I still think that they're going to give us a drum montage on Oscar night.
Drumming in the movies?
Yeah. I will abandon that prediction at the moment the Best Picture winner is announced.
I kind of feel like Whiplash is that movie that a lot of voters are going to discover on the screener who hadn't even seen it already and be really excited about, which is why I thought it was going to win editing from like day one. I still think Sniper probably gets both of these, but I think Whiplash is a really, really close second. I'd be surprised if it was anything else.
But if Birdman is ultimately going to win Best Picture, and that's a thing we'll discuss later, I assume, you get into that thing of like, well, if it wins Best Picture, it's got to win a bunch of others, because nothing wins just Best Picture. And I do think that these categories are a place where that win total could get padded out. I know that's not how people vote, but it is how things tend to shake out.
Yeah, yeah. Although, you know, I think Best Pictures don't win as many Oscars as people think they do.
Well, and not as many as they used to.
Right, yeah, because in the 80s, for example, like, Gandhi would win 8 things or whatever.
Right.
And you're like, really? Costume design?
Right. Well, there were only 12 movies made a year back then, so really, like, yeah. Tend to look at the sound editing nominations and think of, like, what specific Foley effect is this getting, like, nominated for? And I feel like, you know, in Unbroken, it's all that, like, horrible, like, awful, you know, dehydration sounds out in the ocean and whatever, and just sort of like
dehydration sounds.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and Sniper, it's obviously just like for every it's all bullets. It's all just like bullet sounds every year. Do these categories usually overlap to quite this degree? I always feel
it's usually 4 and 5.
It's usually 4 and 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
And the one that's in mixing but not editing is almost always one where they're like, you know, because, you know, music.
Right. Music, exactly, right, yeah. I guess I would probably give it to Whiplash and mixing, honestly. Just because for all the faults that I had with that movie, like, the music wasn't among them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going
to actually, I take that back. No, I would give it to Birdman because much problems I have with Birdman. Like, the sort of, that swirling feel of everything happening around it was very well conveyed.
If Joe had an actual ballot, the Academy would be ringing him up and be like, we can't make sense of all your erase marks and your crossouts.
Sorry, sorry.
And I would say, you know what? It's my art. So back off.
There would be all these notes all over it.
Bye, everybody. I'm sorry.
I would have been slightly more tempted to be sympathetic to Whiplash in sound editing, actually, because imagine trying to get the drums exactly synced to what you're looking at, much less trying to pick the drum sound that sounds slightly too fast or slightly too slow or whatever. Like, it does seem like that must have been an incredible achievement, but...
Well, and also, like, choreographing the drum sounds to, you know, to match up with the blood droplets hitting the canvas all the time. So it's really...
And resisting the urge to have, a forest fire sound every time that happens. I'd be happy with Sniper or Birdman in either of these, I think. But, I mean, I'm probably a Sniper voter in most cases.
Sure.
That phrasing, that sounds so weird. I'm a Sniper voter.
Well, yeah. Well, I think that's how people think of me, you know. Pro-gun.
Yeah, you're a hawk, as they say.
Yeah, that's right.
Documentary feature, I think we can all just breeze by this because it's going to be Citizen 4.
To win, absolutely, I think. I think that's a really good set of nominees, though. I liked all 5 of those movies. Even Salt of the Earth, which is my least favorite, I liked.
I think the only one that that seems to be working hard at getting its own buzz, or that's successful at doing that, is Last Days in Vietnam.
I think Virunga as well, but yeah, Last Days in Vietnam is really working hard.
But
I kind of wonder about Citizen 4. I mean, like, I of the two that I've seen, it's the one that I liked better, and I know it has all this hype, but I feel like there are times where, like, No End in Sight or another one that seems like it's just going to cruise to this gets pipped by something that the few voters who see these kind of liked better, and you know, a lot of people do complain that Citizen 4 just feels like footage. So I kind of wonder if the name value of Salt of the Earth or the sort of emotional appeal of something like Virunga might help it out. I think Citizen 4 would be more secure if it was in some ways a more standard documentary.
Well, and Last Days in Vietnam is a more standard documentary. I try not to ding it for that too much because I think it tells a really compelling story and it tells it well. But it is, if you've got voters looking for something more traditional and also a subject matter that you know, it's hard to say that, you know, the fall of Saigon is comforting, but, like, you know, it's sort of a tried and true documentary subject.
Yeah, that isn't the first adjective I would choose, but...
No, I know. That's why I sort of prefaced that, but yeah.
Yeah, but they do tend to like the more traditional efforts in this category.
They all look like plausible winners to me. I kind of wonder if this might be a horse race.
It's a really strong category.
There's quite an emotional hook to that, too. Like, that
I liked that movie quite a bit, too.
What, Finding Vivian?
Yeah. And, like, for a year and a half, it just doesn't go away.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I had a vote, if I had a prediction to make, it would be hard to shake me from Citizen 4, but I think Nick has a point that there are stalking horses in this race.
Mm-hmm. Animated feature. This is another toughie because the sort of default vote would be How to Train Your Dragon 2, except that sequels don't tend to do well. And Big Hero 6 has been campaigning hard. And then, I don't know if you guys read my interview with Song of the Sea director, but it was so funny, like, talking to him, because he kept deferring to the Tale of Princess Kaguya.
Oh, interesting.
And just saying he thought it was a masterpiece and it was his favorite movie of the year. So I'm like, wait, aren't you supposed to be campaigning for your own movie? So,
yeah, I would be surprised if Box Trolls or Song of the Sea won, but the other three all seem to be movies that you could make a good case for. And Box Trolls is my favorite, so maybe if everybody turns out to be like me, then Box Trolls will have a chance. But I kind of expected there to be more enthusiasm for Big Hero 6 coming into award season, and that didn't quite happen.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Lego Movie was not as popular as I expected it to be, so it feels like with a vacuum of sort of real enthusiasm in the mainstream, mm-hmm. It might default to How to Train Your Dragon 2, but Kaguya has a really good narrative if people bother to pay attention to it.
I feel like the Academy likes animated features enough to give them a category now, but not enough to watch a 2.5-hour movie in Japanese.
Yes.
I think they're not in that place. And I'm just going to have to go on the Robert Duvall and the Judge logic and feel like I don't understand what's happening, but if Dragon stomped all over the Annie Awards and won the Golden Globe, I guess it's Dragon.
Oh, do we not like How to Train Your Dragon 2?
I was kind of mixed about it. I feel like it didn't...
Compared to The Judge.
It's actually my least...
Well, I'm more in the, like, I kept making excuses for why The Judge wasn't going to get nominated all the evidence on paper showed pretty clearly that he would. And I'm mm-hmm. feeling, like, in one way, I'm super confused about this category. In another way, I'm wondering why I am, because all evidence have been pointing in one direction. So it is not The Judge.
It's actually my least favorite of those nominees, Dragon 2.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I didn't love Kaguya as much as a lot of people did, just because I thought it was...
boring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I hate saying that about movies,
but... I do too, but it's the truth. I'm sorry, it is. It's very pretty, but it's very boring.
Well, I mean, if it was like 90 minutes, I think you could have gotten away with how expressive just like the drawing is.
Yes.
But 2.5 hours was... I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't believe the Philistines I'm forced to speak to.
Sorry. But I love Box Trolls and Song of the Sea, so I would be happy with either of those.
Yeah. Well, I love Big Hero 6 and Princess Kaguya, so I guess we just don't agree.
Let's fight, you guys.
We've covered the whole category. So we would never be able to decide for the Oscars.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that Laika would win if they had either of their original nominees competing this year. Because I think people are indecisive, but this is obviously Laika's least well-loved. I let somebody else pick. What category would you like to discuss?
Let's knock out makeup.
And visual effects. That's good. That's a good one.
And visual effects, I've only seen... Well, I did just watch Captain America, so I've seen them all except for X-Men. I don't feel a strong pull toward any of them, really, which makes me feel like I'd go with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, because I believe people that at least advances things
mm-hmm.
technologically, and I did probably enjoy that movie on balance. Actually, Captain America was pretty fun, too, but I just didn't see the effects as driving it.
Yeah, so I think Captain America is... maybe my favorite of that five: Captain America, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Interstellar, and X-Men: Days of Future Past. I like all of those movies. But yeah, I think I would agree that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is probably the one that if you're judging just on visual effects, stands out from the rest.
But as we know, they never just judge on the category itself.
That's true. Particularly in this category, even sort of.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind of torn about what is going to win there. I think just because they've been, I think, strangely resistant to the Apes movies.
Yeah.
Given their level of acclaim.
Right.
But I agree, Captain America, which is my favorite in the lineup, is not... Like, I was watching those video effects reels, and I was just like, it's just basically buildings blowing up. Like,
right.
Or at least what they chose to. I mean, I would have also nominated that among my choices, but at least that's what they chose to focus on when they did their reels.
They don't have, like, one thing. It's not like one, you know, like the CGI tiger in Life of Pi, or, mm-hmm. like, you know, the folding city in Inception. I will say, Interstellar seems like it has the best chance of standing out from the pack in terms of, like, well, the other four are, you know, comic book movie remake, you know, blockbuster for the masses stuff. And, like, Interstellar has that sheen of intellectual sort of, like, Christopher Nolan's had a movie in the Best Picture race before, like, that kind of thing, that at least makes it stand apart from the pack, and that could be enough for it to win.
Or they could penalize it for basically predicting all of those Matthew McConaughey driving commercials where he looks plaintively or contemplatively out of windows.
I think in the same sort of standout logic, the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy is the one here that, like, clearly overperformed commercially. Yes. I mean, like, frankly, Winter Soldier did, you know, really well, too, and nothing to sneeze at on any of their receipts, but a lot of those others were treated as not quite landing in the ways they could have, and Guardians of the Galaxy was such an amazing success story of the year, and is one of the few of these that I think people still talk about eagerly.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that won.
No, I wouldn't either.
I don't even know how to predict this category.
Because it could win for just Groot alone.
Or that, the little raccoon.
Or that little, I love, the one effect, I totally do not think that movie deserves this Oscar, but the one effect that is maybe the most memorable of all five movies, I think, is that net that goes around the spaceship, was it?
Yes, the giant mesh.
Yes, that was a very cool and very memorable effect.
Well, and then X-Men has that one scene that everybody loved with Quicksilver.
Yeah.
So, but I think people have largely forgotten X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes, and I think both X-Men and Captain America are just like, oh my god, we got nominated for a change.
Yeah, it's true.
Neither series had ever had a nomination. So.
And Edge of Tomorrow is like, what the goddamn fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They also didn't go for the, like, balloon deflating under the skin, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Make up in 1 minute?
Sure. Yeah. It's only three nominees.
But there's so much to discuss. There's Karel Schnoz, Tilda's old lady, and green people with green and red skin in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think Budapest wins.
I do too.
And it's my favorite.
I think Foxcatcher was such an overperformer on nomination day, though. Yeah, I guess you're right about Budapest. It seems the more, you know, most makeup and hairstyling would probably go to Grand Budapest. So,
but also best.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know I'm less enthusiastic about that movie than other people. But yeah, I guess among these three, I would probably have to vote for it as well.
Under duress.
Well, I'm really not. I mean, I don't know. I liked Guardians of the Galaxy quite a bit. I don't see a ton of huge makeup stuff in it. Like, they painted a lot of people full body paint, but, like, I don't know.
I see Idina Menzel at home with a box of wine going, I was green. I did that 10 years ago. I can't get a break in this fucking town.
But I think we also need to acknowledge that Grand Budapest finally has an old lady effect that is not like, are you supposed to be 500 years old? Because which tends to be the old age makeup in Hollywood. Like,
I don't know.
Benjamin Button. It's like always like, nobody looks like that.
Well, nobody looks like her either.
That's true.
It's helpful that the movie doesn't quite assume that they do. It's like if Marge Simpson was 150, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's a heightened reality, but still, at least it fits with the movie, whereas usually with old age makeup, it's like, why are you doing it this way?
Right.
It's funny that you could have just had three nominees just from Tilda Swinton movies in this category.
I did in my own awards.
Oh, yeah? Did you this, Snowpiercer, and Only Lovers?
Yeah, they all made my top five of this category. Yeah.
I really honestly think you could. Like, I kind of love that.
Well, they all were very deserving. And it's not just because she had dental work done for each movie. I mean, the hair alone in Only Lovers is pretty impressive.
I agree. Yep.
But crazily, none of those even made the finalist list. None of the other two.
Yeah, I think ultimately Snowpiercer was aggressively not their thing, and Only Lovers was so below their radar.
Yeah. Foreign film used to be, here's the thing, it used to be the category that was impossible to predict because you used to actually have to see all five movies to vote, which is no longer the case.
Right.
And I don't believe that's the case with anything now, right? It used
even
to be...
Even documentary? Really?
I think all of them...
I really don't know.
I think all of the categories that had that thing have now stopped having it.
Wow.
Right, because now they'll just mail you the screeners.
Right, and trust that you'll watch. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Which is too bad, really, because it used to result in like some... I mean, sometimes it would be disastrous, but other times it'd be like that only win because people actually watched it.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, if people are voting without having seen things, they're going to vote Ida. But even if they've seen things, they might vote Ida. So right. That's my prediction.
Of these five, and I haven't watched Tangerines yet, although that will be today, Timbuktu is my favorite. But I don't think it's going to win, and I don't know quite what my rationale for not thinking that's going to win, but it's maybe that little bit of pessimism that I think we all engage in sometimes. It's like, it's too good to win. Like, I like it too much. It could never win. Other people could never have as good taste as I do. Leviathan winning the Globe, I don't know if that makes a difference, except in that it sort of raised its profile a bit. And all of a sudden people were watching it with the eye towards, like, oh, well.
It is very good, Leviathan, but it's also a lot less, I don't want to say accessible, because I think that's sometimes like an overused and misleading word, but it's a lot harsher than the others, or Ida's very harsh, but its artistry is so easy to engage with. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure Leviathan plays as well on a screener, whereas something like Wild Tales would really play well on a screener.
Oh, see, I disagree about Wild Tales.
Yeah?
Like, I think that could win if people had to see it in a theater, because it is so, so funny in a theater with, like, a full theater.
Oh, that makes sense. I was thinking just because of, like, the segmentation of it plays well if you're sort of, like, watching something and then pause it and have dinner and then come back to it.
I think it could win if people had to watch all of them, no matter
what
form.
Wild Tales?
Yeah, because like it's sheer status for standing out as a good time from four pretty heavy weather movies would probably help it.
Yeah.
But I think that I do still think Ida is my gut feeling about what would win. Timbuktu's my favorite as well. I think Timbuktu's kind of more challenging than Leviathan in terms of just getting into it. Mm-hmm. But I think Ida, especially if I'm learning that people don't have to have watched all of them, that's the one that seems like it would have the most word of mouth kind of preceding it. Mm-hmm. Although Wild Tales fans do get kind of evangelical about it.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
If Wild Tales were an English language movie set in the United States,
which is what that Oscar 20 movie? Dozen studio executives are saying right now, how?
Right, but is that an Oscar movie? If that's the case.
No, but I think the kind of reverse, you know, snobbery of like, look, foreign films can be fun actually helps it. Like,
yeah, that's very true.
Yeah,
I think a lot of movies that win in this category would be run of the mill, in English.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Lately, it's been pretty impressive.
Lately, it's been pretty impressive for sure.
I'm thinking
of the secret in their eyes right now, which I don't usually like to do.
or what? The Departed. Was that what it's called?
Departures?
No. Departures, yes. The Japanese movie.
The Departed did pretty well.
Yeah. You didn't know that was a foreign language film until now.
Well, some of those Boston accents were pretty insufferable.
So we all think it's going to be Ida, and you guys would vote for Timbuktu?
I would vote for Timbuktu.
I haven't seen Timbuktu yet. I know. I've been resisting because I just... Every time I hear about... I think I would... I don't know that I could sit through that. It sounds so, so despairing and heavy, and I'm like, ah.
I don't think it plays that way, though.
It doesn't quite play that way, I agree.
And it's not that I'm against despairing and heavy, it's just certain time frames. You know how you're in certain moods, and like
this
past month, I've been like, anything like that, I've been like, I can't deal.
The right seasonal now. Affective disorder is is not a great environment for that, yeah.
No, if I had seen it at a festival, I would have been fine, and maybe
and
it would
be I haven't too. Been able to shut up about the costumes in it either, because I absolutely adore them. And yeah, it's great.
Film editing. I think this is an interesting one, because I also think it's another one where literally any of the five could win.
Yeah.
I'm predicting Whiplash, but I think this might be the only category that's truly a five-wide race.
I would be shocked if The Imitation Game won, but I think the other four, I would agree with you. But then I might just be feeling that because The Imitation Game seems to have faded from almost all of the categories that it's nominated in.
I don't know, they've been pushing really hard.
Whoa, what was that?
Oh, sorry.
Something fell off a shelf somewhere.
No, it was me getting up from my chair for a second.
I'm predicting Whiplash 2.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, a win for anything here would not be all that shocking, I don't think.
No, I agree. I agree with Joe that Imitation Game seems the fifth most likely, but I do also agree that it's not inconceivable. American Sniper is so far ahead for me what I would want to win.
Really? Even above... I mean, I know you like it, but even above, like, Grand Budapest?
Yes.
Which has such great rhythms?
I do think it has great rhythms. I also think that the kind of shots in that movie could often come in a pretty interchangeable order sometimes. I don't know, like, the sequences don't sort of... I don't think they're really designed to, but they don't necessarily kind of build in a very specific way, and there are times where I think we kind of cut to reaction shots or whatever for slightly easy reasons. I felt like almost every shot in American Sniper was... Almost every cut, I mean, was intensifying my experience and challenging me about what I was responding to in the scene. It's the only movie where I felt that.
Of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that there are five really different tasks for an editor to have to pull off. Like, these are really different reasons to be nominated.
Yeah, it's quite a diverse lineup in terms of style. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Boyhood really falls down on the job occasionally of making the scenes feel tight or giving them a sort of focus, even though I understand the movie's not completely desirous of focus all the time. It likes being sprawling, but I get it that, like, having that much footage to have to kind of keep a consistent narrative. Although then I also read that they shot almost nothing that we don't see in the movie. Right. So, you know, yeah. I don't know.
I think if I'm trying to think like an Oscar voter, I think Boyhood and the Grand Budapest Hotel seem to be the two movies where the structure of the movie plays into the editing in a way that is very apparent. So, you know, because Boyhood was made the way it was, it calls attention to the fact that it was
assembled. Yeah.
Assembled in a way that, like, something like The Imitation Game or Whiplash maybe doesn't. And I think the Grand Budapest Hotel, with the sort of nesting stories, does the same thing. And I'm also, I think, to call back to something I mentioned in the previous podcast about Birdman, if Boyhood's going to win Best Picture, it's going to need to win elsewhere, other places. Not need to, I know that's, again, fallacy. But if Boyhood wins Best Picture, I think it's a heavy favorite to win Best Editing.
Sorry, Chicago's on fire, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I just put a siren out here, too. It's crazy.
Even though it's in the middle of a blizzard, it's something can also be on fire, and that's the city where I live. There you go.
So, but just so, Joe, what are you predicting, then?
Boyhood.
Boyhood, okay. And Nick and I are predicting Whiplash. All right.
What do you want to win, Nathaniel?
Grand Budapest.
Okay.
Which, Boyhood is my favorite film in this category, but I think the editing, and I think comedy is so rarely recognized for editing, and I think it's comedy is one of the toughest things to edit.
Yeah.
And I really love the rhythms of that movie, and I think, you know, the cuts come in just the right places, and I just think it's really fun. And it's also like a very for despite being this like sort of scattershot in terms of a story within a story and like all these like quick little vignettes, it is very like taut in a way because it's over fairly quickly. And
yeah,
you feel very satisfied with like I got a full movie, you know.
I had the same experience that you reported earlier, wherein I watched it a second time and really was surprised how much better I liked it.
Yeah.
I just watched it last night, actually. But I also kind of wonder if a lot of the things that I do think play is really taut, like just the fact that you get these tiny little shots that, you know, like in the scene where he's calling all the different concierges,
right,
or other moments like that where a lot happens just lickety-split through cutting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspicious that a lot of that is scripted,
yeah,
as such.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if it's finding the movie in the editing as much as some of these others might be. But I would be happy if it won.
And that's it for part one. Stay tuned tomorrow for part two.